How do you do? Come with us now and you'll meet a man who, like so many others, learned in Vietnam to meet frustration by joining the drug culture. And yet he came home from the Far East a new and better person because his heart and mind and life had been unshackled. In January of 1969, a cargo aircraft taxied to the head of the active runway at Benoit Airport. It was loaded with soldiers and their equipment. Whoever calculated weight and balance for that particular flight must have been an optimist who worked with crossed fingers.
Now, doesn't this seem like an awful lot of guys for this plane to lift?
Pilot must know what he's doing.
Yeah, I hope you're right. Both engines quit.
He cut the power.
Well, are we going off the end of the runway?
I don't know.
He's almost stopped.
What was that all about?
This old bird wasn't getting enough speed. Now we'll go back to the end of the runway and try again.
Oh, great.
I know it's hot back there, but hot weather is one of the facts of life in Vietnam. And if you think you're sweating back there, you should have seen the co-pilot sweat at the end of that takeoff run.
You want a pilot, what do you get? A comedian. That guy's going to get us all killed.
From Chicago, the Pacific Garden Mission brings you Unshackled, the unique dramatic series that tells the true stories of real people. The first of these programs was broadcast on a single station in 1950. Through the years, the outreach has grown. Today, we're broadcast on every continent and are heard in almost every nation on Earth. The programs are translated and re-dramatized in other languages by nationals. Since 1877, Pacific Garden Mission has been continuously engaged in giving help to the men and women of Chicago's streets. The amount and scope of such help has broadened to include food, clothing, lodging, medical and dental care, and counsel. All are given without charge, and counselors are concerned with help for the total person, knowing that we don't live by bread alone. And now Unshackled, the program whose growth has been helped by those who listen, so that others may hear the program that makes you face yourself and think. The second takeoff attempt by the overloaded aircraft was successful. The distance between Benoit and Da Nang is about 350 miles. At altitude, the soldiers packed into canvas seats managed to cool off. After some 2 hours, they were unloaded at Da Nang. Among those men was the one whose story we have to tell. You'll hear it. The true story of Dale Vick, right now on Unshackled.
Our unit, a transportation company, was an aviation support group. Now, that type of organization is not likely to be involved in combat under anything like normal conditions. Conditions at Da Nang, of course, were seldom normal. Our compound, called Paddock, was in the middle of a Vietnamese graveyard along a short stretch of shoreline called Red Beach. My living quarters were a hooch that I shared with four other men. These set out to teach me the things I needed to know.
Not if you got your things put away and are settled down. All I can tell you is to try to hang loose.
Well, I guess I can do that.
Well, some can, others can't. If it don't come easy, there are always ways to relax. Just don't hang so loose that you can't move fast when the shooting starts.
What shooting?
There's a good reason why they call Da Nang Rocket Alley. When the VC start pouring in rockets and mortar fire, you're going to need a hole to crawl into.
I got
to
dig?
The digging's all been done. Over here. This is a bunker we share with the guys in the next hooch.
Will it hold all of us?
Roomy, it ain't. But we can all get in. Remember one thing. Don't ever put anything where it blocks the entrance to the bunker.
Yeah.
When fire starts coming in, you don't want to have to waste any time clearing the way.
It was good advice, and I remembered it. There were times when that paid off.
boots got it all over the floor.
That was close.
What happens if one of them lands right on
Come
the
Come on, guys. If that happens, there won't be any of us worried about a deck of cards.
Yeah. South China Sea was part of our perimeter. One evening, with a couple of the guys I'd gotten to know pretty well, I went out to the beach.
This is far enough. If we go too far down the beach, we're liable to get our head shot off.
Yeah. Get out the grass. The rockets we've been getting make Vic nervous. He needs to get away from it all.
What? Well, what makes you think I'm nervous?
If you're in this crazy country and you aren't nervous, there must be something wrong with you.
So what about getting away from it all?
Blow some grass and find out.
You're talking about pot?
Grass, man, grass.
Me, I just say marijuana.
I never used it. Then it's time you turned on.
I wasn't really sure what to expect. As with a lot of others, nothing really happened at first. But when I did begin to get high, my perceptions went through some changes. I lay on the sand and looked up at the night sky. The moon seemed very close, and so did the stars.
Now what do you think about pot?
Yeah, I guess I'm high on it. Hey, what happened to the ocean?
What are you talking about? The ocean's right there.
Oh, right. I can sit up and look, and I can see it, but funny thing is that now I can't hear it.
So, the marijuana goes to your ears, too.
That night, when we walked back to the company area, I knew the distance wasn't more than 300 yards. But it seemed, to my distorted sense of time, that it took hours to go that short distance. Soon after that first experience, I began to smoke pot on a fairly regular basis. And one night, about midnight, Mike and I climbed to the roof of our hooch.
Is this the first time you ever smoked it by the bowl?
Yeah.
Well, if you're not handy at rolling cigarettes, you can always put some grass in a tobacco pipe and smoke it that way.
Well, I think I'm getting just as high. Maybe higher.
Just don't fall off the roof.
Yeah. Don't fall off the roof. You know, that's an interesting idea. I mean, I look down. There at the sand. I mean, way down. Miles and miles of distance. Think what it'd be like to float down. Down and down. Oh, what a trip.
Hey, sit down. What do you think you're doing?
I want to jump off this roof. Float. Float down.
You better not. It's a good 12 feet.
Or maybe 12 miles, eh? You ready?
You're jumping. I'm not.
It's a bird. It's a plane. It's me. I landed stiff-legged, my knees locked, and my back stiff. Even at 12 feet, the shock was considerable. Since then, I've wondered how often other people have jumped from a roof, from a window, even from a bridge, while their mind was flying high on dope. Although Vietnam was a place to find any drug you had in mind, and what you bought was sure to be strong and cheap, I stuck to pot. We did have one other drug, and that was one of the commonest of all.
Hey, that's enough. Pour me a couple of more drinks that size, and I'll be bombed out of my skull.
Okay, but you don't drink, the rest of us will. Dale, how about you?
Oh, I'm ready. You can pour heavy.
Okay. Enough?
Up, enough for now. Don't let that bottle out of sight, though. I'll be ready pretty soon. At first, I didn't realize how much I had changed, and in just a few months. I was very young, and my memories of high school were still close. Now, though, those days began to seem very far away. I remembered some things, though. For one, in school, I'd been a great joker. And now, though, I hardly ever smiled, much less laughed. And that worried me a little. I tried to go out of my way to smile at people, and found that what I hoped would be a smile turned into an artificial grin that made me look like someone in pain. Alcohol and pot were changing my entire personality.
In a moment, we'll bring you the rest of the true story of Dale Vick. Now, though, let's spend a minute or two with Superintendent Harry Saulnier of Pacific Garden Mission. Harry, we still hear from people who ask if it is possible to visit the old lighthouse and meet its people.
And the answer, of course, is yes. It is not only possible, we strongly urge as many as can to come and see the work of Pacific Garden Mission. We have even made certain modifications in our operating schedule in order to make it easier for visiting groups.
Now, those changes involve Saturday activities, and Saturday is the day most often chosen by groups. Many of them arrange to be with us by mid-afternoon. We provide a guide who leads them through the old lighthouse from end to end, showing and explaining the work of the various divisions.
Then comes an unshackled recording session, and sometimes the people in the studio audience actually take part. Then there are important changes in our schedule. We're having the fellowship supper at 6 in the evening on Saturday instead of at 7. This allows us to schedule the Saturday night testimony meeting at 7 instead of at 8.
And this is very important to visiting groups, since it means they'll complete their visit an hour earlier than used to be the case. For those with some distance to travel, this should be a very welcome change.
I should mention this, too. Sunday, October 29th, is the day of our 101st anniversary rally.
And that is held, as always, in the Conrad Hilton Hotel in Chicago, beginning at 2 in the afternoon. Music by Myrna White, Glenn Jorian, and the Christian Fellowship Band, directed by Lee Frazane.
And our speaker, Charles Colson. First well-known because of Watergate, now well-known as one who loves the Lord and who carries on a very active ministry to prisoners.
After the rally, we'll be holding open house at Pacific Garden Mission, and that'd be a very good time to visit. For information about group visits, address Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. The telephone number in Chicago, area 312-922-1462.
Although I was becoming a person more or less dominated by alcohol and pot, my hoots mates were very tolerant about it all. After all, I was becoming what they were. I was, by the local standard, normal, even when I staggered in almost completely out of control.
Hey, look at our boy Dale.
Out of his skull, all the way out. Stone to the eyeballs. Here, guy, I'll give you a hand. Uh-huh. Oh, wow. Does he stink? What a smell of booze. This guy is bombed on alcohol and stoned on grass.
With a touch, just a touch of opium.
Oh, opium yet.
Yeah, I sprinkled it on the grass before I put it in the pipe.
Nothing to do but put you to bed. Sweet dreams.
As I say, those guys were very patient about one of the group coming into the hooch in bad shape from drugs or alcohol or a combination of the two. That's something to remember in the light of the way they acted on another occasion in August, 8 months after I reached Vietnam. The series of events that led up to it began on July 30th.
You know I don't smoke cigarettes, Dale. I'm a pipe man with either tobacco or grass.
And all the other guys are out, and me, I've run out of cigarettes.
Well, try down the line at one of the other hooches. Hey, what about Homespun in number 12?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he has a cigarette hanging out of his mouth all the time. Well, somebody said that guy could drink a cup of coffee without taking a cigarette out of his mouth.
No, I don't believe that.
Well, I don't think so either, but I'm not sure. You give him a try. He must buy his cigarettes by the case.
If you're not BC, come in.
It's only me, Larry.
Okay, come in and close the door. We don't need the bugs.
Yeah. I thought you could smoke them out.
I guess maybe I've done it a few times.
Yeah, well, look, right now, I want to bum you for a cigarette.
Boy, I'm sorry, Dale.
Well, what do you mean?
I just don't have any cigarettes.
Well, that must be a terrible thing for you. I'll tell you what, if you're short of money, I'll give you some to buy cigarettes with.
No, Dale. You don't understand. I've quit smoking.
What?
Come on, I don't believe it.
Well, what happened to you, Larry?
I got saved.
You got saved?
Yeah. It's great.
Yeah, sure.
Dale, do you know what I mean when I say I got saved?
Sure, Larry. I know. I spent years in church and Sunday school in Indianapolis.
And you've heard the gospel?
100 times, Larry. 100 times.
Where are you going, Dale?
Back to my hooch.
Look, would you go to church with me on Sunday night?
Church?
Some of the guys meet in Little Chapel on Sunday nights. One of the guys preaches, too. Will you go?
Sure, Larry. Sure. I'll go.
Well, I shook that incident out of my mind. For 4 days, I managed to avoid thinking about Larry and what he'd said. Then, on Sunday evening, August 3rd, 1969, he came to my hooch.
You ready, Dale?
Am I ready? Oh, you're thinking about the chapel.
That's right.
A church service? Like me?
It isn't really what you could call a church service, Dale. Just a few of us guys who are Christians.
Okay, Larry. Okay, I'll go. It was a walk of about, quarter of a mile to the chapel. There I found myself sitting with 5 other GIs. And one of the men, Sylvester Brown, who had a considerably better than average education, he'd been chosen to speak to us.
It seems to me that we hear the word gospel very often. Maybe a lot oftener than we really hear the gospel itself. Now, the word has the meaning of good news. Maybe we can start from that point. What do we think of when we speak of good news? Well, if you're deeply in debt and your creditors are giving you a hard time, and then someone says, I'll put up the full amount of money, I'll pay every dime you owe, you will be debt-free. That is good news. If you think that everyone has turned against you, if you're convinced that the universe itself is unfriendly, if you're sure that no one loves you or cares what happens to you, and then someone says, I love you, and proves it, that's good news. If you are deathly sick, waiting to die, knowing that nothing you or the doctors can do will save your life, and someone says, you will never die, and demonstrates the power to make that statement valid, that's good news. Now, we all suffer because of sin. Not a popular word, but a very popular condition. At least, sin has warped the life of every person on earth so that the Word of God says, there is none righteous. Sin has placed us overwhelmingly in debt to a righteous God. But here's the good news. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus came to pay your debt. Now, about the business of nobody loves me. It may be true when you look around at other people, but turn and look upward. Think about this statement. For God so loved the world, and that includes you, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, can you say, nobody loves me? If you're a sinner, and all are sinners, then the words, the wages of sin is death, should terrify you. But then comes this promise. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Good news. Good news. Good news. Trust in Jesus Christ and be given forgiveness, God's love, and eternal life.
God's Holy Spirit was dealing with me as Brown spoke. One thought totally overwhelmed me. I was lost.
completely lost, and on my way to hell forever. You see, I had never before realized what it meant to be separated from God, lost forever. But that evening I did. I began to cry from my innermost being for the Lord to have mercy, to forgive and cleanse me from all sin. And there I stood in a makeshift chapel, my face buried in an army green towel, crying harder than I could ever remember having cried. There, almost 10,000 miles away from home, I embraced Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. Now, as I made my way back to my hooch, there was a new man in the old army fatigues, a new man in the old body. I had been born again through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. I walked into the hooch, and no one paid any attention until I dropped to my knees by my bunk and began to pray. I didn't speak aloud, but my kneeling was enough.
Look at Vic. He's gone nuts.
Clear out of his tree. Let's get out of here. That guy may be dangerous.
Praying. That's wild. Let's go.
Early one afternoon, shortly after that, I returned to the hooch to find something very strange had happened. A log was blocking the entrance to the bunker. Though I tried to find out why.
Well, sure, I know the log's there.
Well, why?
Ah, oh, forget it.
What do you know about it, Mike?
Nothing. And that's the way I like it.
Well, I went to check the bunker for myself. Then, having seen what was going on, I went to talk to Larry.
Okay, Dale, so some of the guys have got a Vietnamese girl in the dugout. She's getting rich and they're breaking regulations. What can you do about it?
Well, nothing official. But I can take my tape player and stereo speaker. Now, that thing has so much gain that if I put the speaker by the bunker entrance, it'll almost blast them out.
What are you going to use for music?
Oh, a tape of Jimmy Davis singing. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he died alone for you and me. Well, that music put a quick end to the activities in the bunker. But some of the men decided to even the score. And that evening, just at dark, I was alone in my hooch, reading the Bible. Three men, the same three I had driven out of the bunker, entered and stood around my bunk. I said, "Hi, what's on your mind?" But they just stared at me. Oh, their hatred poured over me. I said in my heart, "Oh, Lord, you'll have to fight this one for me." And then I glanced down at the page of the Bible where it had fallen open and read, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" The three men continued to stare at me, hating me, but I was protected. At last they became ashamed and turned away, never to bother me again. A few weeks later, one of those men was saved. And much later, we both attended the same Bible college. There, during our second year, he told me what had happened that night in the hooch.
We had planned to kill you that night, Dale. But for some reason, we just couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know the reason. It was the restraining power of God.
The man who was so protected is here with us now. Dale Vick is an evangelist, a youth evangelist too, serving the Lord full time. He speaks in youth camps, and in prisons as a very active prison and jail ministry. He is a man at peace with God and at peace with himself. Dale, you have a minute or less to say to our friends listening, especially to those still shackled by sin, whatever you can speak right from the heart.
Some 55,000 men died in Vietnam. Some knew Christ and some didn't. Their destiny's already been settled forever. But you that are listening to my voice still have a chance to decide where you'll spend eternity. Some of you may know about the life whereof we spoke on this broadcast. Some of you may have experienced it. But if you've never met Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, He can save you right now, wherever you are, whatever you're doing. He said, "For whosoever will shall call upon the name of the Lord." Will you call? Will you accept Christ? If you will, do it now. Do it today. God's willing and able.
Thank you, Dale. Friend, to counsel with someone who is concerned about you, get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. The telephone number in Chicago, area 312, is 922-1462. If you listen in Europe, you may address Unshackled in care of Transworld Radio, 175 Tower Bridge Road, London, Southeast 1, England. If you listen in the Philippines, you may address Unshackled in care of the Pacific Mission, Post Office Box 1467, Manila. Take a moment to write and tell us that you listen. You might also write to the manager of this radio station. As you write to him, just say, "Thanks very much for Unshackled." And as you listen, do ask others to listen too. Heard in the true story of Dale Vick were Roger Mueller as Dale, with Kit Stanich, George Gilbert, Jack Bivens, and Douglas Allen Mann. Original music, Lucille Becker. This is Jack O'Dell, and I've written the story as I received it from Dale. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it really can be filled to overflowing. Write to us this week. We look forward to hearing from you. Your letter is far more important than you may realize. Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. And if you need spiritual help, you may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago now. Area 312-922-1462. Someone who's concerned is waiting for your call. Area 312-922-1462.